Hello, guys. This is Billy Fletcher back again with the Op Lab podcast. And today, we're excited to have Miss Lara Farnsworth, Coach Lara, here with us today. Is one of our coaches at Alliance and also really our head coach for our group training in our Fletcher Fitness program. And she started out with me a student. How many years ago has that been?
In 2004.
So 16 years ago. So I want to introduce her today. Let people get to know. If you train with us here, you for sure know her, but not everybody knows kind of her background and how she got to be involved as a coach here, and so has a pretty interesting background. Not necessarily in fitness and kind of transition into the fitness realm. So it's a chance for everybody to get to know her a little bit better. And then is with all the goal of kind of the Op Lab podcast in general, again, is to share stories that hopefully may resonate with different people, that can help maybe, inspire them in their lives or maybe be able to put out some educational material that can help them. So I'm going to kind of start with welcoming Lara here today and also let her kind of tell a little bit of her story about, how she got to be a coach here at Alliance and at the Optimization Lab. So welcome, Lara. Glad to have you here today.
Thank you. So I guess first I'll give a little bit of my background because I have not always been in the fitness business. I actually have my bachelor's and master's in social work and was actually practicing social worker for a number of years. But while I was actually in graduate school, I had a part-time job at my graduate school teaching aerobics. So I've always been interested in fitness and have always consistently worked out since I was probably a senior in college and have always kept that up. So anyway, lived in Memphis, Tennessee. That's where I met my husband, Eric, who also works out here at Alliance with you in the Optimization Lab and in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Met him in Memphis while he was in medical school. We got married, had our two children, Samuel and Claire, who are now 24 and 21. So we wound up moving to Greenville for Eric's job in 2000. So have been in Greenville since 2000. Continued working out, joined a fitness center, mainly doing aerobics like I had done for years, but wanted to start doing some weight training. So I started working out with a personal trainer shortly after we moved here and really enjoyed that. But then in around 2004, Eric found you through jiu-jitsu. And what he didn't realize was that you also, owned, your primary business was personal training and high intensity at that time. And so he encouraged me to check you out and give that a try. And obviously it worked out okay. Because I've been a client of yours since 2004. And at some point you kind of tricked us into group classes. And I think according to our timeline we're doing on our website, it was sometime around 2008. And I really like that because I love the one-on-one training, but I also get a lot of energy from group classes. So that was awesome. And we talk about me transitioning into being a coach. I think you and I kind of have a different recollection of it. But sometime between 2008 and 2011, I would say you actually talked to me about going to doing the Level 1 CrossFit certification, and you, thought I'd be a good coach, and you would, you wanted to pay for the certification for me to do it, and that just completely freaked me out. Just the thought of having to go and do that and mainly take the written test.
Which she always does well on, by the way.
After I stress myself out massively about it. Um, So I didn't do it, and I never got back with you about it. And I know you're not, your personality is not very aggressive, so you never said anything else to me about it. So you probably thought, well, I guess she doesn't want to do it. And it really wasn't that. I did. I just didn't have the confidence, and I thought, I don't want him to pay $1,000 for me to get this certification and me not to pass the test. So that was just stressed me out. So that was sometime a while back. So finally, in 2012, I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I don't even know if I told you I signed up for it or whatever, but I think you knew that I was going. And I went to a gym in Charlotte, North Carolina to do it, and didn't even spend the night there, just drove up there in the morning and back in the afternoon. Didn't know anyone there. It was definitely out of my comfort zone, even though I'm a pretty outgoing person. It was just, you know, being out of school for, gosh, how long? Since 1992? I mean, that was just stressful. But anyway, I studied hard, did the certification, passed the test, and that was great. And so, but there was no real plan there. You hadn't said anything to me more about coaching, and getting the certification was just kind of my own thing. But then at that point, we had moved to a new location, and we had a lot more members, and there were people really wanting a noon class. And so we started that noon class probably in 2012, right after I got my certification. And so that's kind of, for a number of years, all I did for you was that, yep, that noon class. And then shortly there, after getting my CrossFit level one certification, I went into the CrossFit gymnastics certification in Atlanta, and I loved that. I still use that a lot in my coaching and warm-ups today. And so that's kind of how that turned out. And then now I'm kind of here full time,
yep,
which we transitioned to that really when my daughter Claire was a senior in high school. It was great because, you know, when she left to go to college, I had kind of something to do every day. And being involved, you know, obviously now I'm mainly doing the adult fitness, but at the time I was doing a lot of the Parisi Speed School training. And, you know, that was before we had Braylon on full time. But it's been great. I mean, it's just really kept me busy and kind of given me a purpose. And I feel like I definitely still use my social work background in coaching, for sure.
Yeah, and I see that all the time. I mean, you know, and just, you know, it's been fun seeing for me, because obviously you started out with me as a client, but also, you know, obviously progression from that perspective, but from a coaching perspective too, you know, the seeing that growth also, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, and we're kind of one of the things we encourage, even in our group classes, we encourage kind of a, I like to call it co-opetition. You know, and I'd say when we were a CrossFit affiliate, it became, I think, sometimes too much about competition, you know, where it could be kind of detrimental in the class. Like, that's one of the things I love about jiu-jitsu is that, I mean, that's hard training, but it's a very, to me, it's different. Like, it's, you know, you're actually, you know, if you want to call it fighting or whatever, but you're grappling and you're, you know, you're trying to choke the other guy out or whatever. And then, you know, you shake hands and hug at the end of class. Well, you know, we have sometimes like that in CrossFit, but not as much kind of thing. So it's kind of a different, you know, feeling. And so what really encourages that competition, where everybody's pushing hard, but there's also like a camaraderie that develops there. And, you know, and so, but still some people kind of struggle with that side of it, I guess, you know, we do a partner workout and, you know, the partner's not really paying attention to what the other partner's doing versus being engaged. So with you, like, really, that's that engagement, not you didn't do that before when you were just a client, but as a coach, you really, you know, push that side of it and do a great job, you know, great job with that. And you know, kind of see in the personality aspect of it comes out there. So I can definitely see that in the coaching side. And you know, I've said this before, like, really, you know, for if someone was asking about how do you become a fitness coach, you know, I would say, you know, obviously the physiology and all that's important, but really the psychology is probably a bigger part of it, you know, than even the physical part, you know, to me. So I can see definitely how that so you're, even though that might have not been why you did that in school, it certainly has been beneficial, I believe, from right. what I see from a coaching side of things.
So my parents didn't waste money on that
tuition. That's right. Yeah, for sure.
That's good.
And we've done a lot of stuff since then together, you know, even, you know, different, you know, I enjoy, like, you know, I used to try to get my wife Louise to go to these certifications and things, and more lately, she would go to them, like, I'm trying to think if we had kids at the time. I think she was pregnant. I remember one year we went to I somehow talked her into going to a certification thing. You didn't have to do certification, but it was a bunch of classes and stuff. And I remember her being pregnant because she had, she kept, you know, I think one morning we missed part of the class because she had morning sickness or something. But that is not her. Now she just tells me no. I'm not going on that, so it's nice to have someone to travel with that is also like almost like a travel agent. So she, and also is extroverted enough to help me stay engaged with people rather than just going back to the hotel room and when we go on these different certifications. So you want to share any of the experiences?
That's funny because and the first trip that we took together and certification we went on was the personal defense readiness course through Blauer Tactical Systems, and if you remember, you wanted Eric to go with you on this one, my husband, and he really wanted to go because he was, you know, followed Tony Blauer and his, you know, spear system, but the way it worked out, it was like a long weekend, so it was a Saturday through Monday or something, and with his work schedule, he just can't, you know, take a day off. So he couldn't go, but he said that, I think you should go. So I was like, oh, okay. So I signed up to go and, you know, made all of our travel arrangements and everything. And then he showed me a video of some of the certifications, but I think it was the ones that Tony Blauer did with law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
But he scared me a little bit with that, and I kind of went into panic mode, and I think Louise was on her way. Y'all were on your way to pick me up to go to the airport, and I was like, I can't go. I'm not going. But I did, and it was great. I mean, it was really awesome. It was a small group, and one thing that was really cool that the coaches pointed out was they thought it was really awesome that we were coming together because you have a, you know, a big, strong guy who's, you know, a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and then you have a smaller female, you know, and they, you know, really felt like that was a good way to teach self-defense because, you know, usually it's the women who are coming for the self-defense classes, so it's nice to have that pair. And that was good. That was a really good weekend. I enjoyed that, survived it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was our first certification that we did together.
Yeah. And that was good. I mean, I enjoyed that too, you know, obviously for the learning and all that, but really it was, you know, because I think anytime you do something new, you're always, you know, if you have the right mindset, you're always questioning, you know, you have to ask questions, not in a negative way, but like, is this, like in that situation, you know, how is this really going to work? You know, the science of it may kind of make sense, but in reality, you know, the practicality of it, because will it really work? And our practical for that was, you know, obviously not a real true self-defense thing because, you know, there's no way to really make it 100% real, but it was pretty realistic. The guys that were, you know, were coaches that were, you know, for lack of a better word, the attackers, and you don't know what to expect, and they're very aggressive, and, you know, so we're all in the back room and waiting to go out one by one. So you don't get to see what's going to happen. You kind of have some rules, so to speak, but I think you couldn't hit them in the face because they didn't have any gear on. But I went before you, so I actually got to see you in the practical, and that's when I was like, wow, you know. And just with that one weekend of training, because I don't think you were even doing jiu-jitsu.
No, right? not at the time, though.
So, you know, we had maybe a little bit of martial arts, kickboxing or something background, but really not much background at all. And then really to see how she handled that situation, and against a guy that's probably, you know, 6'2", over 200 pounds, that was really, for me, like, wow, you know, that's pretty, you know, we've got something here that we can really take back and you know, teach to our students. And we've done a bunch of workshops, just weekend workshops, or not weekend, but, you know, short, basic stuff that we learned at that certification. So that, again, you know, it worked out well, I think, it kind of, again, by accident, that you're the one that went. And I think that was even more powerful, like you say.
Yeah.
And it's been really good for us here.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was good. And then, you know, of course, we went and we did the Tony Blauer offered a program through CrossFit for CrossFit Defense. We did that one. And then we did the Training for Warriors, which was a good one. And I think that's kind of where we transitioned out of CrossFit. And I think that's where, when you were talking earlier about the whole kind of the competitive nature was just getting a bit much, I think, with CrossFit, when we kind of transitioned over to Training for Warriors, we were trying to get away from that a little bit. So that was neat. And then what else have we done? We did the Parisi Speed School Training Week in New Jersey for a week. That was amazing. Okay. So even though that was geared towards our kids' sports performance program, it definitely translated well, I think, to working with our adults as well. I know I really enjoyed doing that. And then we... and then the next one, you had signed up for that training out in California to do the NMAP with Scott Sonnen and the TACFIT. And at this point, I was coaching a lot more in the adult program. And so I remember complaining on my porch to Eric about, I can't believe you signed up for this and didn't ask me to go. So I got on the computer and I signed myself up, so, which was good, because you would have had a very boring time and a hard time getting around California if I wasn't there with you. But that was a great one, and I love that. So, you know, a lot of our members know we're starting to do a lot more TACFIT and FlowFit workouts in our training, which is great because, you know, we're getting older and movement's more important, but they're also great workouts. And another cool thing about the TACFIT workouts are they're all, you know, based on a martial arts perspective, which is cool because we have a big martial arts program at our gym. So that was good. So we did that. And I think the last one we did was the FlowFit one in Atlanta.
Yep.
So it's been a while. Now, anything we've done now has been virtual because of the pandemic. But I do enjoy going. And we did the one in Chicago too, the Pyron one. And Eric went with us on that one. That was really cool. That was different too, because it was not a physical training. So that I enjoyed that. But anyway, I'm ready to get back in person and do do more
they start
stuff
having
like this.
Some more. Yeah. Hopefully not too far away. I think up here on, I was telling somebody, I think this morning is the event we went. I can't remember what they called the event we went to. Do you remember in Chicago? It was it wasn't a summit, but it was anyway. But some of the doctors from up here on were there, and then of course other students in the community and so forth. And for you guys that don't know, Pyron, we've had on the podcast previously, I had my coach from Pyron, Richard Gamiz, who is, we've had him on for two different ones. But anyway, it's a company, Pyron, and Pyron Zoe, or I'm probably saying that not exactly right, but that basically it's Limitless Life is what that stands for. And, you know, it's really about kind of a, I like to think of it as like, and they talk about a little bit like a paradigm shift a little bit in medicine, more towards like say performance medicine versus just sick care. And I became recently an epigenetic coach under them. So one of the kind of the first phases of that is doing looking at, you know, individuals' DNA and trying to really structure, help them come up with lifestyle approaches that really fit more with their genetics versus kind of so sometimes it's not just about, again, we talk about this not working, you know, always harder, but working smarter. You know, so if you're in, you're going to be dieting, say, for instance, really hard, but if that's, you're using a diet that doesn't match your genetics, it's going to be much more challenging. Versus if you have a diet that matches your genetics, it would be better. But anyway, so I think there's that same event they're having. They were supposed to have in November in Asheville, which is obviously a lot closer than Chicago.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to be able to go back for that. But that was a fun event. And you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we can because you actually did my genetics.
So we started doing that. So, you know, I think Larry was one of my, her and Eric both actually, they let me practice on them as I was going through my coaching certification. But I found this very powerful, and I've got Blair's permission to share, because it is her DNA we're talking about. But you know, is the whole idea behind the epigenetics is that you're not, you know, your genetics aren't 100% your destiny. You know, so I think a lot of times, you know, we can use genetics as you know, not frame it in any way, but as an excuse. So I just got, you know, I've got bad genetics, so I can't get in shape, or I, you know, can't become leaner or whatever. And so the whole idea behind epigenetics is that not everybody's going to be blessed to be as fast as Usain Bolt, or, you know, be able to play basketball like LeBron James or things like that. But we have a lot of control over those genetics and the expression of those genetics by our lifestyle. So I think you've probably heard it before. I've heard it, you know, about you, well, she's got good genetics and all that. And so, but she works out all the time, and she does, you know, watch her diet. She has some wine every now and then, but she watches her diet, and she's done that ever since I've known her. And so when we looked at her genetics, it was not what I would have expected, you know. And so, you know, I know one of the ones we kind of joke about is, you know, there's one of the variants is called the cookie jar gene, which basically means that, you know, people that have that gene, they really have to be aware that if, you know, if they buy cookies or desserts or whatever, once they eat one, it's like it's very difficult for, it's going to be more challenging for them to not eat the whole thing. And so I was kind of surprised when you had that. So it just shows, to me, it shows like, you know, the discipline aspect of, you know, your training and your nutrition and all of that. Because you're not just, it's not just genetic, is my point, it's work, you know. And so I think that for people to know that is good, because you're a good role model of what you can overcome some of those things that may be kind of against you from a genetic standpoint, just with lifestyle. And so anyway, I wanted to share that, because I think that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. And I didn't order that dessert last Friday night either.
that's right. She did make me promise to help eat it. I do remember that. So tell me a little bit, because we've talked about this, especially over the last few months. We had some extra downtime recently, and we're kind of trying to, even with the gym, you know, we kind of created, at the first of this year, we kind of built out a separate room, and we were calling it the optimization lab, because the idea was that we wanted to really help people optimize. And we built, you know, we have some special tools, special equipment that we felt like could help people do that on a little bit better level, but it really needed to be more individualized. It's hard to do in a group. Really, in that situation, impossible to do in a group. So it was kind of a way to kind of level up things. And then the more we talked about it, it was really like we want to really, it's not really just that one room that's the optimization lab, but really it's the goal of the whole gym. So each of our programs really it can be maybe, think of it as a different path towards doing that, but it still is the goal of the gym and the lab. The gym is the lab. And so kind of helping us really kind of define more of our purpose as a gym. But with you as a coach, like, how do you see that fitting in with your own goals, being a coach, and your own purpose and that sort of thing? Do you want to share anything about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we seems like one day during, you know, shutdown, when you and I were just at the gym every day doing the Zoom classes and Facebook classes, we just, you know, kind of started talking about a lot of things and, you know, wondering how things were going to go and we're going to change. And I just thought it was really neat that you kind of, you know, I feel like we've just for years just been kind of all over the place with our identity at the gym. You know, we've got so many things going on here. We've got, you know, our adult fitness program. We've got the optimization lab. We've got Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for kids and adults. We've got Parisi Speed School. You know, we've just got so much. And I think, you know, trying to redo our website, we're trying to figure out how to be more clear. And you know, when you really started thinking about it and talking about it, I mean, what your vision is, and when we finally had this discussion, it was just like a light bulb went on. But it's not just the one-on-one training in the closed out room that is the optimization lab. The entire gym is an optimization lab, and then you choose your path, you know, and you're going to optimize and you know, and really a lab is, you know, you do experiments, right? You experiment. We looked up the definition of laboratory. I can't remember what it was, but if you view, you know, this entire facility and all the programs within it as a experiment and a laboratory, and it is a learning thing. I mean, I've just seen, you know, through the years, you know, we've gone full circle in the types of training we do, and I think it's actually really cool because you're not just staying with one thing. You're, you know, constantly trying to make this a better program. So I thought that was gave me a lot of clarity about the gym, is that, you know, yes, there might be a lot of different programs and offerings here, but, you know, kind of the goal is you come in here, we're here to help you optimize and to be a better version of yourself, no matter which path you choose. Yep. Whether you choose to do jiu-jitsu, whether you choose to do, you know, Parisi Speed School or the group classes in Fletcher Fitness or the personal training in Fletcher Fitness. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. And of course, you know, I love the energy of teaching group classes, but I found that, you know, for a week or so I was kind of covering for you in the lab, and I actually enjoyed doing one-on-one training a lot more than I thought I was going to. So that was good as well. But, you know, I love the group of people that we have here. I feel like the clients that we have that stay with us long term are a good fit for us. So it's not just like, you know, we want to be a good fit for them, which we do obviously, but we want to find the right fit for us too. You've got to have the right mindset, I think, to train here. And, you know, I just really enjoy working with people, love working with women. I think I can count, you know, close to 10 women that I helped get their first pull up, which is amazing. I love that. It's such a empowering feeling, you know, when that happens. And now, you know, more so now that we're doing all this movement stuff, I love it when, you know, I help someone get a complex movement, especially if it's an older client who doesn't move well, you know, just trying to help people in that direction. So it's nice. I mean, it's just like, you know, in social work, you know, empowering people, mm-hmm. and I'm just doing it through fitness. Yep. I feel like now.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, you know, that's been my thing. I mean, I you know, again, we were kind of with the website going back and doing like a timeline, and I kind of go back to even coaches I had in high school that, I mean, I think I said, you know, probably and not just high school, but even beyond, but that's kind of where I first kind of started to make that connection. But other than my parents, coaches I've had have probably been the most influential, you know, in my life. So I know we talked about that, and, you know, when we did the Parisi Summit, that was a big piece of what, you know, you have, I mean, if you accept it, it's a pretty big responsibility. The opportunity you have to help people. So that's kind of where my passion, and I think your passion, comes from, mm-hmm. as well. And then, you know, then also another part we touched on a little bit with your husband, but your whole family has trained here.
Yes, yeah.
And and that's been kind of, because they started, you know, really as, I mean, little kids.
Yeah, so and Claire was in kindergarten and Samuel was in third grade when y'all started the kids' jiu-jitsu program.
Yep.
So that's crazy.
Yep.
I mean, and now here they're, but my son's back and forth, but my daughter's home, and when they're here, they're at the gym every day.
Yep.
They like the training. They like the sauna. But it is. I mean, it's great. I mean, it's just been a great, you know, way to affect their lifestyle. I mean, they've never known anything other than coming up here and exercising and, you know, fitness. And I mean, even when Samuel's gone, he's on the Train Heroic app, getting the workouts and doing the workouts.
Cool.
And, you know, really enjoying that. So it is. I mean, it's just been, you know, kind of a home away from home for our family for a number of years.
Yep.
And,
yep.
And it, until we close shop, maybe our kids will take it over.
I don't think Mackenzie will be, that will be up my alley.
But maybe Walker. We might have to remodel and become more of an assisted living facility / workout.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just been, you know, been great for me, you know, just on a personal level and professional level to be able to do this. And I hope I'll be able to keep doing it forever.
Yeah. And that's been, I think, a big, you know, not big, but it's, you know, as I get older, realizing that, you know, we've been talking, even like with the TacFit, you know, one of the things I love about that is we, you know, we've kind of incorporated it into our program as well. It's like, it's really a health first fitness program, you know? And so in really looking at not just performance for right now, because that's important too. I mean, for not for everybody, but for me, I still would like to be able to perform. But, you know, now I'm not so much interested in being able to perform right now when it's going to affect my health and longevity long term. And so I think you're talking about I'm not putting words in your mouth, but when you talk about being a fit for us being a fit for people, but also clients being a fit, like you kind of have to buy into that, because that's kind of how our mission's set up, is that, especially in the fitness part of it, you know. Now, Parisi's in jiu-jitsu can be that too, but they also will be a little bit different. If I'm a high school athlete, you know, that's a sport. I'm training for a sport. If I'm doing jiu-jitsu and I want to do that as a competitive sport, you're pushing the limits there, you know, but you also have to realize there are risks there. But our fitness program is really not built for that. You know, we're not building people for CrossFit Games. If someone wants to do CrossFit Games, then, you know, we can certainly help them in some ways, but really now I would send those people elsewhere, you know. So it's more about, you know, it's more about, you know, the health and longevity, you know, long term. And so, you know, and I think we have some really good programming built around that. And so, yeah, that's the hope, is in the, you know, add in the genetic component and all the stuff that we know from that perspective. That's why, again, going back to optimization, I mean, you know, it's really applying all that stuff, because I don't think anybody, very few, I shouldn't say anybody, but very few people, and I know myself, if I look at and evaluate my own, you know, training and lifestyle, there's always things I can do better, you know. So if I can just be smarter about it, and as I get older, maybe even be a little bit smarter about it, then that can play dividends. And who knows, you know, 10, 20 years, we're still, you know, training, and we have clients in our, you know, in our 70s, in their 70s and even 80s,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are still, you know, doing a pretty good job getting after it. We were talking with a gentleman yesterday, I think he's, I don't know exactly how it is. He's like, and he's, I don't know if I can keep up in class. I'm like, dude, you do pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You
know? A lot of our older clients are some of the toughest and hardest working.
There's a lot of people come in and, you know, I mean, I'm not even talking about the, like people like Cynthia, who, that's a whole different animal, but,
right.
But, you know, come in and, you know, knock out, you know, 10, 15 good strict pull-ups.
Jerry.
Yep, like Jerry. And so that's you know, that's an inspiration for me, because
absolutely,
like, hey, you know, just stay in the game and keep doing the right things. And you know, I think that's a part of our, I think that's changed from a generational standpoint. I think like my grandparents, it was a very different mindset. Like, you expected to age and be, like, for lack of a better word, like an old person.
Right.
You know, that's just, but I mean, you didn't know any better. And but they didn't exercise, they didn't watch their diet, they just, you know, that's, I mean, you know, they, I mean, they worked, but they, and maybe they were physically active, but they didn't really take a active role in that. It's just how things were. And now, I mean, you can see the people that really take an act, active role, they, you know, when there's, you know, I think that I heard this recently, like, the, maybe it was 50. Maybe I'm thinking ahead because I'm almost mid-50s. But you know, the 60s, the new 40 or something like that. You know, so like,
yeah.
And you see that with people who stay active and do all the right things. You know, they can still perform and do things like maybe they could do in their 40s. So
that is true, and we are seeing it. And it's nice to see, too, that a lot of the guys mainly that were just so against all the movement classes,
yeah.
That was my whole class today at noon.
Yeah.
They all showed up,
yeah.
And they all did it, and nobody's complaining anymore. In fact, people are talking about how they're feeling better and moving better. So that's nice. That took a while.
Yeah. And that's something we talked about this week. I really was sharing that. Is like, I really believe if you, you know, and that's, again, going back to, like, the goals of the gym is, like, you never want to feel like you're doing something that's harming someone, you know. And so, really, if you're you know, you can do exercise that's detrimental, you know.
Right.
That's one of the things now, you know, one of my mentors coming through, Ken Hutchins with Super Slow, he was very, you know, one-dimensional in that way, you know, but he was very adamant about it. Like, he basically hated running. You know, he's like, that does, you know, why would you, I mean, he's almost like, why would you do that? You know, I'm not of that mindset because some people can run safely, you know, for many years and no problems whatsoever. But I think you got to, you know, be aware of those things. And I, from a coaching standpoint, don't want to do things, have people doing things that I'm telling them are good for them. And then it hurts them long term. So that's kind of really what we're trying to do now is really make sure that we're doing things that, again, are going to help people, you know, for the long haul, not just the short term. And so that movement stuff, I think, is critical for that. So
I agree.
Well, it's been fun today. Hopefully, you know, I enjoyed talking to you today. Of course, you know, we get to talk all the time, but wanted people maybe to get to see a different side of you and kind of learn a little bit more about you today. So I think we were able to do that with the podcast today. And thanks for being on.
You're welcome.
And we will talk to you guys soon and for our next podcast. Thanks a lot.